Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Hard Truth. And whether you're listening to this or whether you're watching this, I do hope you'll enjoy it. And do make sure you hit the subscription and subscribe to the channel so you get all our regular updates. So, first of all, it's a warm welcome from me, David Vance, and from
Alana.
Yay.
Hi, David. So lovely to see you. We have a particularly amusing show today. I hope that you'll keep the spirits up with this January 6th circus, Menstrual America on display.
Well, you see, the thing about January the 6th is, Alana, because we definitely need to talk about this, because we've got the wonderful, I mean, who needs Broadway when you've got the show trial that's going on at the moment in terms of the investigation into the insurrection on January the 6th. And actually, just to set it up, Alana, we've got a couple of headlines. Just wanted to so everyone's clear in this one, folks, because this is very, very, very important to understand. So if we can bring up, Jed, a couple of just the headlines about from Mr. Biden. Yes, Alana Mercer, January 6th was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Yes, yeah. Forget about 9/11. Didn't matter. Pearl Harbor. Didn't matter. January.
No. Yeah, and I sort of did a little bit of research wondering about that. You guys, well, it's not you guys because you're Irish, but 1814, the British troops sacked the capital. Then, of course, it was a Harvard professor in 1915 who detonated stuff in typical fashion for Harvard professors. Then in 1954, there was a Puerto Rican American, also not native born, who also used real guns and injured folks. 71, we had protest bombings in the capital against Vietnam. 83, we had armed resistance, real armed resistance, in protest against Grenada and Lebanon intervention. So, yeah, those renegade, ragtag bunch of strange people are compared to all these. What do you think of that?
Well, you see, I simply quote you the words of Nancy Pelosi, because if we bring up, and again, for our listeners, I'll read it out, Nancy Pelosi has made it clear, Alana, January 6th was unquestionably one of the darkest days in the history of our democracy. Now, I'm not sure if she was sober when she said that or not.
are you implying that Nancy has a problem, a drinking problem?
No, I think she does it very easily.
It's natural. Comes natural. Well, she does have two. There are two Republican Pelosi poodles, shall we call them? The one is Kinzinger, who is absolutely into the act, crying, wailing, beating on breast. And the other is the daughter of Darth Vader of politics, and that's Cheney. I think he's still alive. Who actually orchestrated the war on Iraq through, you know, really filtering intelligence from our intelligence community, our impeccable intelligence community, he orchestrates. So his daughter is really a piece of the old, you know, not unsimilar to dad. And then there's Kinzinger. Have you seen him? What do you think about him? He's a political pygmy from, where is he from? Illinois, I think. Illinois, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen him? Those are the two Republicans that are partaking in the January 6th Inquisition. And for the rest, I think 80 million mega folks are just laughing because you behind the scenes in the studio, you said I'm heartless to laugh. But these are not true tears, really. I mean, I was a little bit sympathetic when AOC brought on, the AOC wasn't even on campus, I believe, on the Capitol. She brought on her what are her bunch of women called?
I'm not sure what the collective noun is
for those four ladies, the quad or whatever.
The quad, yeah.
She brought them on, and I think none of them were on the capital, but they all cried and they all demanded therapy for life. And they established this as one of the most therapeutically harmful events that they had been through. And okay, they were ladies. And now what's particularly amusing, and you called me heartless, you'll have to correct that impression now, sir, was all the gentlemen crying and weeping.
Yeah, well, I think we've got a picture. I think we've got a picture to bring up on screen, which I think, Jed, if our producer can just bring it up right now, off the show trial, the Star Chamber. Yeah, here we have one of the the weeping men. This officer, oh, his feelings were so hurt. I mean, look at that. He's distraught. And again, Alana Mercer. Here we go. If we just bring it, what's his name? Just scroll back up again here. We're just scrolling here, folks. Just want to get the name. U.S. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. Harry Dunn. Yes, there he is. And he's weeping.
He might look like a softie who's crying. You just wonder what sort of opposition to the riot did these people mount, because you know they do crumble into a puddle of despair if just sitting on a chair in Congress and bringing back the memories makes them dissolve into a puddle. But this gentleman is actually quite nasty, because he hurled quite a lot of pejoratives at, he accused, this is all hearsay, right? There's no proof. I didn't hear any on the video. There were none of the pejoratives that he, the racial epithets that he claimed to have suffered from the crowd that convened on the Capitol. So I think he's quite a nasty bit of work.
Well, indeed, and in actual fact, Alana, because Twitter never forgets, I've seen some tweets that he sent in the past year to, for example, one of the Fox News hosts, and one could almost say that they were a bit racist. So I'm not sure that this gentleman and the other weeping poodles, as you say, let's call them poodles, because we're going to
Pelosi's poodles.
Yeah, I'm not sure that these are good actors. It's such a contrived piece. And Alana, I'll tell you something I wanted to ask you was, because way back, a long time back, whenever we got into the whole 9/11, when actually there was a substantive act of terror against the American homeland, back then, do you remember in the immediate aftermath, we had something a bit similar to this, where we were being pushed into making decisions about things that would then affect us for many years to come, in getting us into Iraq and all of that, which you opposed on principle at the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I think if the Democrats get their way in this one, they're going to push through loads of stuff. I mean,
yes,
you know, you can see it, can't you? I think it's a real parallel. And since you spoke out so well back then, I think it's really important, you know, to hear your sense of where this is going to take us now.
Well, I think you see this is just sort of the cherry on the cake. I mean, you see the impetus, but it began also because the deep state and the managerial state and big deep tech are all owned by the Democrats. You saw the changes before. I sort of object to the fact that the GOP is trying to, portray what's happening in the country, if it's COVID, if it's maligning people who don't want an injection, absolute loss of civil liberties and individual rights. It is a continuum, because all the institutional rot, all the institutional structures, be they education, deep tech, deep state, are progressive. It is very, and because the Republicans are in fact such poodles, I see this more as existing on a continuum of loss of liberty. So I would love that our MAGA folks, 80 million strong, hold the Republicans' feet to the fire, because there's nothing we can do about this Democrat Party and their armed wing, you know, the people who are really at fault, the people who looted, burned to the tune of billions, during the race riots of last year. And of course, Adam Kinzinger, whom I particularly feel is a political pygmy and a vile human being, one of the two Republicans on the committee there, he actually said something that's quite interesting. And actually, I can say that I believe the absolute opposite. He said, "I condemn those riots and the destruction of property that resulted." He's talking about the 2020 race riots. But not once did he, Adam, feel that the future of self-governance, such as it is, was threatened like he did on January 6th. And he went on to say, there is a difference between breaking the law, which he felt that the BLM and Antifa sorts were just breaking the law and rejecting the rule of law, between a crime and even grave crimes and a coup. Well, let me just, if I'm allowed to speak to theory, let me just say what the libertarian perspective is, at least among those libertarians who do not make their living within the Beltway, hardcore libertarians, people who actually value individual rights and property rights. It is exactly the opposite. The Republican was born of secession, was born of a coup from England, right?
Yep.
The founding fathers supported a coup when government becomes oppressive. First of all, there is no self-governance. And second, any libertarian worth his salt would side with people who proceed against the state, the seat of oppression and of power, than people, which is the armed wing of the Democratic Party, who proceeded last year against their fellow citizens, against their neighbors, who burned property, who humiliated people in their social settings, forcing them on their knees, making them recite all kinds of racist catechisms, apologies. Those people, Mr. Kinzinger, are far worse than the ragtag renegades that stormed the Capitol on January 6th. So that's my perspective.
Alana, you did actually have a really good column earlier this year, just following January the 6th, really, which I wonder, Jed, if we can just bring up Alana's column, which was basically entitled "Trumpeting the Hardcore Libertarian Take on the January 6th Capitol Incident." And as always, Alana, your words are very shrewdly and appositely chosen. But the thing is, like, you know, as you say, that is the Capitol building not the people's house?
Yes, of course it is. And neither will I deny that there was a little bit of a melee, you know, there was a little bit of a happening going on. I did not see armed. And I'm sure the I'm not going to say, oh, the president is mischievous. I kind of like the way Donald Trump was pretty naughty about the whole affair and praised the people, because he has a natural affinity for that kind of sentiment. He's just one of the people, like it or not, or at least he behaves that way. So, yeah, it's the people's house. There's a bit of a melee going on.
but I mean, the Democrats are casting it was an insurrection. Well, if it was an insurrection, it was the world's worst insurrection.
Yeah.
Because nobody, as far as I was aware, none of the insurrectionists were armed. Once they were, some of them were let into the Capitol, Alana, by the Capitol Police. So again, it's a strange insurrection that. And what did most of them do? They took selfies and they sat in Nancy Pelosi's chair. Worst insurrection ever. But it, again, they're deliberately fantasizing about something that didn't happen. It wasn't an insurrection, was it?
And exactly, and in that column, I say that a certain kind of libertarian, the good kind, distinguishes clearly between those who, like Black Lives Matter, would trash, loot, and level private property, the livelihoods and businesses of private citizens, and between those who would storm the well-padded seats of state power and corruption. So to us, call us immoral, if you will, but the moral high ground lies with a statist hearing going on, but if anything, with the people who actually would direct grievance against the seat of power, rather than smash and loot neighbors and fellow citizens. Certainly the capital, as I said in that column, our country is not to be equated with a capital, and our countrymen are not to be equated with a capital. The people that live and do what they do on the capital, to me, they are just they are the criminal class, if anything. They fleece us without flinching. And certainly, speaking of self-government, I mean, what do you think? Are you self-governed in the UK, or?
Well,
is there self-government?
Well, not really, I would suggest. Not. I mean, I think the US, in some regards, was an evolution in some ways from what we had originally here. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, it amazed me the way that, as you say, those denizens of the Capitol building, those political parasites, because that's what they are, who infest that establishment, they were outraged because people came in. Why shouldn't people come in? And it should be the same here, by the way, in Parliament in London as well. But this is one of my big problems with the established political class anyway. They set themselves up above us when in actual fact they're put there by us to serve us. And the opposite happens. So, you know, but what worries me, Alana, is you mentioned the 80 million MAGA folks or so. I think what's going to come out of this potentially is, back in 2000, 2001, round about then, those few years, it was the enemy was perceived, probably wrongly, as being overseas, right? They're going to make the 80 million MAGA folks the enemy. And they're going to go after the 80 million MAGA folks with the same sort of glee that they did Afghanistan, Iraq, and all the rest of it, don't you think?
Well, they're already doing that with the vaccines. Mm. They've begun framing it in the most crass and crude and sub-intelligent way. Why are you even had people like David Frumos, not a stupid man, you know, not an intelligent man, say, you know, why should we are suffering COVID because of those who choose not to be vaccinated? And it's mostly the MAGA folks. So that's begun, and that's pretty scary. And I think on the COVID front, you will see us increasingly. We've resisted the COVID passports, but you'll see us increasingly being barred from all kinds of spheres of life. Under the guise of not having been, some of us not having been inoculated or vaccinated, and really, as you say, as a political vendetta.
So it absolutely is, and so what you're going to have, Alana, is the full power of the state directed against the people. Which, if you think, when you say it out loud, it sounds really bad, and it is really bad. And I think that's one of the objectives behind this pathetic Star Chamber show trial that as you say, at least two Republicans are actually participating in. How can the GOP have such people, by the way?
Well, they're trying to delegitimize them, but I think they're pretty strongly entrenched in their own constituency. So I guess the only way is if they are, you know, outvoted and out-primaried, but I really don't know. They are a joke, and I don't think anyone that votes Republican or votes MAGA or voted for Trump takes those too seriously. In fact, I even wrote a column saying, I think it was called Rising Republican Rotters to Look Out For, and Kinzinger certainly featured prominently. The second was a woman called Nancy Mace, a youngster who's actually smarter than Kinzinger and is lying low now. She rushed to the fore. Also, I think South Carolina is her constituency. She rushed to the fore to impeach and to condemn and to so on and so forth and declare that she was so frightened and called herself a single mother. Now, you know someone who's a liberal, no conservative woman should call herself a single mother if she had been married and conceived her children with a man. That's a way to disenfranchise men and make your single mother someone who has, we used to call it a bastard, right? born out of wedlock. Can one use that? My mother used to. She's a bastard, born out of wedlock. So Miss Mace was married to a gentleman, but she's a single mother who rushed to the fore as well to condemn these people who are. How many of them do you know, David, are in jail without due process?
That's right.
I believe hundreds. Not one person, I believe, is from the aftermath of the racial riots is in jail.
Exactly.
They got a pass, right?
They got a pass. They actually burnt down American cities. They actually killed people as well. Let's remember all those who lost their lives in the riots of summer 2020. The only person who lost their life, who was killed in January 6th, was, of course, Ashley Babbitt.
Yep.
So and so she was murdered, as far as I can understand.
Yes,
so again, very, very strange definition.
There's footage of the murder of Ashley Babbitt. Whatever the powers that be think of her, doesn't she deserve, you know, her day in court?
I think
tears should be shed for that young woman who served her country, pitched up on the Capitol and was shot down. I mean, there's footage of it.
There is. I've seen it. I've seen the footage of her murder. It's horrific, Alana. You know, say her name. Say George Floyd. Say his name. What about her? And that's where there's such a chasm of hypocrisy running through this, you know, because last summer, America was moving towards some sort of insurrection by the BLM looters and rioters and killers. And the Dems said nothing. In fact, actually, here's another point. The last summer, in the aftermath
of that,
they wanted to defund the police. But now I see Nancy Pelosi, she can't say enough about the Washington, the D.C. police. There's another bit of hypocrisy struck me. I wonder,
You make even a better point that the Dems, they are absolutely fabulous. Those people are so audacious and strong. They stood up for the armed wing of the Democratic Party. They will never condemn that. They justified looting. They wrote books in favor of looting that are featured in academic libraries. Yeah. But our people got on their knees. Republicans, look, I'm not a Republican. I voted for Trump, of course. I'm a dissident. Yeah. Republicans don't have bad ideas, yet they spend their political lives on their knees, bowing and scraping and justifying good ideas. Democrats or progressives have ghastly ideas. They don't even stand any longer for against war or against interventionism or against, they're not even pro-environment in the real sense of the word. There used to be Democratic or liberal groups that decried what's happening due to the footprint of immigration. They wanted less immigration to preserve our beautiful country. No, nothing like that. They stand for nothing. Yet they are proud. They go out there, they support their own. They don't spend their political lives on their knees like the Republicans do. And that, you make a good point. Yes, they defended Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, that's right. They don't back off. So you see, the thing that annoyed me most over January 6th, in the actual aftermath of what was shenanigans at the Capitol building. It was the worst riot I've ever seen, if it was a riot, and it certainly wasn't an insurrection, right? But it was the response of there were many Republicans at the time who instantly sought to disavow and indeed track President Trump, who actually had specifically told the crowd to disperse peacefully. We've got video footage of that there. So I thought they were just cowards, the Republicans.
Everybody's doing that. Even our beloved TV hosts are saying, we condemn that. They have to suffer, you know, the arm of the law. They have to be brought to justice. We condemn. I'm sorry, and I guess we're going on podcasts and afterwards on Rumble, so we won't be subject to YouTube's banning and banishing with this broadcast. But I'm sorry. It's not that I support them. I don't see that they can be prosecuted and persecuted and denied due process of law when fouler individuals, way fouler, people that on principle I despise and I would defend to the death against my own home and abode, against BLM and Antifa, if they come. And I was afraid. Kinzinger says he was never afraid of those people. He never felt self-government was under threat. I was afraid. I was afraid. We had neighborhood discussions about what if the police stand down in our neighborhood. We were afraid. We don't have private detail protecting us. So when I compare the moral grounds of the not insurrection, the melee, the little you know, riot, very, very funny, comical riot with the shaman and all that stuff. And a lot of old guys who still feel it, who still have the fire in the belly, like us, you know, older people. It's the young who've been brainwashed, right?
Yeah.
It remains for us to carry the torch. So when I see those people and I compare them to the other, I consider myself an ethical, moral person. I have no qualms stating who has the moral high ground. Simple.
Well, yeah. And as I say, like when you see the persecution of, I mean, there's been grandparents, grandmothers, I think, one of the first one taken and dragged through the courts and given some sort of stupid fine was a lady, I think, 71-year-old. Again, very strange insurrection led by septuagenarians. Very, very unusual. And that's because it wasn't. It absolutely was not. The Democrats are trying to, but they're very good at this. They will keep at this. And, of course, the media helps them, Alana. The legacy media, the fake news media does help them reinforce.
Exactly. Yeah.
But they're establishing something that never happened as a precedent from which they will then go after all the MAGA folks, that many of whom may perhaps listen to this. You know, it's them who are going to be in the crosshairs of what comes out of all of this. So although it is comical and it's pathetic at one level, but it's dangerous at another level, I think.
It is, because there's no institutional protection for dissidents. There's absolutely none. You know, and the worst it gets in terms of, as you said, the onslaught against MAGA America, and we are 80 million strong to go by. 80 million strong or 74 million strong?
74, yeah. Still plenty.
And so, there's going to be an onslaught for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
With no defense from the Republican, because they are, look, they have distanced themselves from this hearing, and I like that. I like that a lot. And there are only two of Nancy Pelosi's poodles in attendance, and I think they will suffer the repercussions from that. But is there anything? I mean, these people, the Republicans, didn't move against deep tech when they could have. As a result, we're banned. We're absolutely banned and from the public, from public discourse, from the commons. Social media is the commons, right? And financially disenfranchised from PayPal, so many, et cetera. Exactly. I'll leave you to speak to that. So we don't have serious defense in the seats of power, and that really worries me. We did with Trump, but they were adamant about getting him out, and now they want to make sure that he never makes a return. That's another thing about this hearing. They want to make sure that there's never an uprising of Trump voters again.
Well, I think, Alana, they've actually spoken about putting legal provision in place to prevent certain individuals from perhaps running for office in the future. So you're absolutely right. But like, to go back to the start of all of this, the reason there was upheaval in January the 6th was a lot of folks did not have confidence in the election result. I mean, that's just the fact that people felt very uncomfortable about what had happened. And everything since then, in my view, would vindicate their sense of concern about what happened in America in November. Now, as you say, because of deep tech, if we say that on certain platforms, we would be wiped off it. But that speaks even further to the depth of the problem we face.
I guess we're coming to the end of the show, but I think you bring up a really good point about the election. And I think, to me, democracy is itself futile and unjust, and that's why this country was born of a republic. And in that column, I do say the farce of the election, never mind the disputes over structural irregularities, that look at what democracy actually means. 81 million people, 51% of those who voted, not of the people, get to impose their will on more than 74 million, or 46% of the voters, and as well as on the millions who didn't vote. Moreover, as I write in that column, the winner in an election is not the fictitious entity called the people. The people have spoken. No, they have not, but rather the representatives of the majority. And while it seems obvious the minority in a democracy, us voters, is openly thwarted, the question is, do the elected representatives of the majority actually even carry out the will of the majority? And I think if you ask, I mean, I have at least one best friend is liberal. We don't touch on she's an old liberal, school liberal, so we can agree on many things like war and environment and animals and all kinds of good stuff. But if I had to ask her, do you like what's happening on the border? Are you afraid for your community, for your health, for the longevity of your vaccine with all the strains that are coming in? You know, so to my point before closing, do the representatives of the majority, even in a democracy, represent that constituency? And the answer is no. And that's why our founding fathers were dead set against democracy, and they bequeathed the republic. So to Kinzigal, say we are not self-governed when so much of the private and the public sphere is up for decision in DC, is decided upon in DC. No, we're not self-governed.
I think that is the critical point. And as you say, they don't govern in the interests of the majority who vote for them. But because of that, Alana, to finish up on as well, from my perspective, that's why they were so scared of January the 6th. They were scared of the fact that a number of American people were prepared to bring their grievances directly to their door, and they didn't like that. And they're going to make sure those people, as you said, they've been turned into political prisoners. I mean, it's shameful what we see.
And that is so much, David, if you learn, I mean, you're a student of American history, that what you saw on the Capitol, and we have to be careful here, was so much in the spirit of America. It really was. Absolute no respect for government that's viewed as tyrannical. We're not saying whether we agree if government is tyrannical or not. I generally think all government is, Republican and Democrat. So you saw something that was very much American, and yet now it's being demonized in such a foul way that we can see the worst for these people. Will they get due process of the law? Will there ever be any kind of, not uprising, but protest even? Are people going to just hibernate, crawl into their little nooks and crannies and hunker down in despair? Yeah, those are questions.
They are. And again, Alana, and we will wrap up in a second. You mentioned Donald President Trump. And I think he was a guy who did reflect and echo some of that original American spirit.
He did. People say he was, David, people like to say he was a phony, but he did not put in the right people in place. He did not put good spokespeople. He did not follow good policy. He surrounded himself with losers, with neocons. But when he got up there, you saw what the man felt. And I think that's what people feel when he gets up there on the podium and speaks from the heart.
He does. And I think that's why they were so scared of again, what happened in January the 6th. But all I hope is that, you know, and we'll see, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about it in the next sort of year, get to the midterms, and Trump certainly seems to be energized. He's speaking to a large constituency, the 74 million American MAGA folks that I know Biden and his administration want to go after. But maybe they're going after the wrong people, because I took part. I'll finish this one, then you can wrap up. I was speaking on another show thing I did earlier, and one of the things I was bemoaning was that in the US, the population is armed.
Yes.
In the UK, we are disarmed. And therein lies, Alana, all the difference in the world. Because a population that can resist a tyrannical government is a population that tyrannical government fears. In the UK, unfortunately, we're disarmed and they don't fear us. And that's why we fear them. So, yes. You know, I definitely think that all my hopes reside with the 74 million. And yes. That spirit, which you speak, is the original American spirit. And that's why they hate it so much.
Yes, and that's a perfect note to end on. I can't improve on that, David. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really can't. Let's keep that high. Yes, absolutely.
Let's keep that particular flame burning. So, look, Alana, thanks very much for sharing the last 35 minutes or so with us. And I hope, folks, you've enjoyed that. I mean, you know, we call this podcast series Hard Truths because we're never taking the easy line. We're going to take on the strong issues and express honest views, and I hope you will enjoy them. So listen, thank you very much for being part of this. Do make sure you hit the subscribe notifications, whether you're watching this in video, whether you're listening to our dulcet tones over audio, whichever way you're doing it. Anyway, please support us, share it, and we look forward to being back with you again this time next week. Thank you all very much.
Bye all. See you next week, David.
Bye-bye.